What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 20th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Holiday Ginn was the roundup today because 6.0 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks for JT Ginn of the Athletics. And this was away from Sacre Verde. It was in Houston against the Astros, and it was a right-handed lineup, all of those things. However, he did get some lefties. And what JT Ginn does well is throw is a sinker that has a lot of drop. 2.2 inches of vert is so nice. It was originally 4, but then StatCast reclassified and good. Here we go. The changeup was involved there before. It's also coming in at 95 and not 93.5 that we saw earlier in the year. And JT Ginn's sinker is very good. It's kind of what we want Jack Conowitz's to be again. He located really well against lefties. He also had the slider that he backdoored against lefties incredibly well. And against righties, he got a little lucky. We've seen in the past of JT Ginn having this big slider to really help things out. And then we also saw the sinker go inside to righties. We didn't really see that a ton in this one. Also, the cutter kind of is a four-seamer, but it's not because the sinker gets so much horizontal too. I think like 16 to 17. That we normally see something like 10 inches of horizontal with some extra vert or so on a four-seamer, but this is actually a cutter that matches the drop and also goes about 12 inches, 12 to 14 inches less horizontal. So it's like right on the zero of the the x-axis, right? So essentially, it is a 93-mile-per-hour cutter, just moves differently the opposite direction of the sinker. That's awesome. He doesn't throw much. He should. You really should. I think it's a really fantastic pitch. He didn't have a good command of it to lefties, sure, but maybe even against righties, you can throw that more. What I'm trying to get at is if JT Ginn is at 95 mile per hour velocity on his sinker with this drop of like 2 to 3 inches of sink, yeah, that's pretty good. And I think that really sets up everything else that he has. He's someone to watch moving forward. He does get Sacre Verde next, which isn't fun. It is against Seattle, though, but I don't know if I really want to do that. Not against Seattle, against the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are a worse offense. Then he'd go at Baltimore, and then he'd host the Rays in Sacramento, and then go to Minnesota. And there's a chance all four of those are good. If he has 95 across all of them, that's good. But what you can do, you can play safe in your 12-teamers, is say, all right, let's just see if Arizona, he has that velocity. And if he does, and he has that movement too, then we go for the Orioles maybe as a very sneaky stream. In your deeper leagues, this might be a guy to really help you down the stretch, as so many other fantasy managers don't know who he is, don't care about the Athletics, or are not focused at all. And this might be one of those down the stretch that you actually can get some really nice streams. Paul Skeens, ace is going to ace against Arizona, 20 whiffs, Gallows pull, blah, 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 blah. It was great. 7 over 19 sweeper whiffs, and yeah, Zach Wheeler isn't going to win the Cy Young because Zach Wheeler actually did not have a good day yesterday. No, Zach. Yeah, 5.2 innings of 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. Still great, but those 4 earned runs, he had a really rough second frame, and that was it. He got a Philly as a part of the Phillies. That's what happens. I just want Zach Wheeler to win a Cy Young, okay? Jack Flaherty. Oh, this was so good. Against the Jays. The Jays are such a hot offense right now. And Flaherty got the win. 6 innings, 0 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. His slider was phenomenal against righties. 41% CSW down away. He did allow a trio of hits on it, but they were all precise. There were some that leaked a little bit too far, and they went after it and got it fine. And then you have lefties getting both the slider and the curve for 5 over 17 whiffs. They both had a 53% CSW combined over those 17 thrown. That's just, that's good. You have the four-seamer, too. It wasn't touched by the Jays. That's everything that you want. So Jack Flaherty looking like this against one of the premier offenses in the league right now should give you the confidence that his stuff and his ability is exactly where you want it to be. I would continue rolling with Jack Flaherty. Noah Cameron against the Guardians. I really hope that this is the last. I hope that this southpaw for the Royals does not get a rotator cuff strain as both Bubich and Cole Reagans have gotten. And here we had 83 pitches, which is fine with me. In 5 innings, got the win, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. And honestly, he didn't actually have the best command here. It was a lot of cutters, changeups and curves upstairs to right-handers that he normally doesn't do. And Cameron can't get away with that when he faces better offenses like the Jays next as a lefty. I don't really like that start at all. I wouldn't be surprised if over time here, Noah Cameron does run out of gas. This is what you see with a lot of exciting first half pitchers, is that they have a really nice first half. It's a breakout, and then they are not equipped to hold it throughout the entire season. So Cameron has been an amazing run. I don't know if I want to start him for the Jays. Just play that one carefully. I hope the Royals do too to make sure that he gets his rest. If the Royals are not in the playoff hunt, then like, you know, it's an interesting situation there where Cameron, I think, could miss a start. That'd be really nice. They won't do that. Matt Gage against the Mets opened for Spencer Bivens, who went 3 innings and 2 earned runs. And that's just not worth your time. Don't read that roundup. You have Brady Singer against 7.1 innings, getting 7.1 innings in a win against the Rays with just 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. This is awesome to see because he got a lot of lefties like he did last time out against the Nationals, and the Nationals beat him up. While this was a slider getting down and in beautifully to the said lefties, also sinkers going upstairs and four seamers right with them where they couldn't tell if this was the sinker or the four seamer. Messed them up completely. He'll get Atlanta and then heading to Pittsburgh up next. It's a coin flip. You've seen both sides here. You've seen the floor. You've seen the ceiling. Good luck. Atlanta's just kind of in a morale drain, so you might be able to get these hitters hitting worse than they should. Jack Leiter against Atlanta. 6 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 3 walks, 7 Ks. Speaking of which, he got the win. Is this the breakout start for Leiter? No. We had moments. We have a slider generally down and away from right-handers, down and glove side. That's what we want to see. And we saw four-seamers upstairs to lefties. That's what we want to see. Four-seamers were that good to righties. The changeup as the main secondary to lefties was not very good. Very chaotic. So we're seeing parts of it, but it's not a complete pitcher yet. He does get at Seattle next. That is at the tee. Do you want to go with that? I don't think I do. Maybe. I think I'll have him at the bottom of questionable because, of course, Seattle helps. But Jack Leiter is not Jack Zippo, okay? He is not his superhero alias. You have Tomoyuki Sugano against Rocky Road. What a gift that is. And I really should have just said he was the streamer instead of Colton Gordon. Colton Gordon honestly pitched kind of well as he had 2 solo shots in the first and had 2 more runs in the fourth. And it was just timely hits there by the Athletics to ruin that one. So it was 4 runs in 5 innings. He looked generally good. So he's a decent win chance moving forward. While Sugano against Rocky Road, I mean, yeah, it's Rocky Road. 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, 8 Ks. It was lovely. And now he gets the Cubs. So no thanks. Yeah, no thanks. You have Kyle Hendricks against the Mariners. He got a win. So happy birthday party to him. 6 innings, 1 runs. He was 85.7 on that sinker. I just can't believe it. Yuri Perez against the Brewers, 5 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. He went 12 for 12 strikes on his sweeper. Oh, 58% CSW there. And the real problem here is that 92 pitches in 5 innings doesn't seem right. It's because Yuri Perez, despite only 2 walks in those pitches, it's because he allowed all of these foul balls on his four-seamer. It was 15 over 52, which is a 28% rate, and that's too high. Why do foul balls happen like that? It's because batters key in on something and you couldn't put them away and you didn't have something else to really serve them. They didn't locate the four-seamer perfectly to miss that bat, right? So that would be the changeup or the curve or the sweeper or the slider. And I will say, to his credit, Iuri was trying out the changeup more. He threw 6 of them. 2 were just terrible. One of those was to a righty. Let's move on from that. And then, I mean, he really spiked that one. That was funny. I remember seeing that. And then there was one another that was spiked to a lefty. But then 4 of them were right around the zone. Right around it. You only got 1 strike out of those 4. So it was like a 17% overall strike rate on that changeup. But I love the fact that Yuri Perez is experimenting. He's not just saying, oh, I don't have a good changeup. I'm just going to stop. I'm going to keep trying to make this work. And this is the best it's looked. All right. We had 67% competitive rate. That's good for Yuri Perez's changeup. So that's where we are there. We keep going with the Yuri Perez, of course. But understand that this is why he's inefficient, because he doesn't have enough support, even with those sweepers. Because lefties, it doesn't really have that one either. And 12 for 12 strikes is not necessarily a showcase of it being a big whiff pitch, right? A lot in the zone. You have Ben Brown against the White Sox. 5 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. I'm happy for him. He got a win. Anyone who went for this one, awesome. He breaks the Wasker rule. That is a good breaking ball and a bad fastball and nothing else. That's it. 0 for 28 whiffs on said four-seamer and a solo shot in the fourth. He also was limited to 60 pitches total. I mean, he's not even going to be in the rotation anymore. I don't think so. I think the Cubs are going to go and get someone. And it's Ben Brown out, not Colin Ray. it's going to be Ben Brown. You have Imanaga in there too. You have James and Tyone should come back at some point as well. I just think Ben Brown is not made for this rotation long. You don't really want to go for this anyway. Cole Sands opened for Travis Adams. This was the Minnesota Twins. If you don't know those names, that's fine. I got it for you. 3.1 innings of 500 runs for Travis Adams. So no thanks. I wonder if the Twins are going to add somebody because let's say Joe Ryan goes. The Twins need help to just make sure they don't run their younger arms into the ground. So maybe they'll make a deal like Atlanta did to get Eric Fede, which I know is so weird. It was just cash considerations. They were just trying to get through the season without destroying all their pitchers for the future. And I imagine the Twins might do that even if they don't trade away Joe Ryan because this Travis Adams thing isn't working at all. Jake Irvin against the Twins, speaking of which, got the win. 7 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. This was Koufax being very, very kind. So, no, this wasn't absurd curveball dominance. It did have 42% CSW, but it was really the fastballs that were throwing a lot more than that curve that went 13 outs in play. 13 generated by those fastballs, which is remarkable. 26 for 28 strikes on that four-seamer and just 2 hits. Then again, it was 6 ideal contact, total ideal contact, which is the ICR metric we use, right? 6 of those, and one of the solo shots were one of those, right? So, like, he got pretty fortunate, Jake Irvin. Do not lean into this. All right, we have other guys to talk about. Shane Baz and Brandon Woodruff and Grant Taylor starting. Just kidding, he's not, but maybe he will in the future. And Max Scherzer, oh boy, and so many others. We'll talk about all of them after this break. Brandon Woodruff against the Marlins killed it. 6 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 6 Ks. A really fun game against Perez. And he went double the amount of sinkers over four-seamers about so, which is really strange because the four-seamers are so much better. The sinkers are very mediocre movement-wise. So I don't really want him to be doing that. The cutter looks great, though. Oh, man, I love this, like, 92-mile-per-hour cutter or so, 93 at times. That's, like, going off of the four-seamer. Oh, my gosh. Just don't throw as many sinkers. What are you doing? Stephen Kolek against the Cardinals got the win because he just threw all these strikes over the plate in Koufax. Yeah, sure, what the heck. You can do that sometimes. 6 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. No thank you whatsoever. Shane Baz against the Reds got singled out in the first. 2 runs off of 3 singles. And that was pretty much it. 5 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. The four-seamer was upstairs. The curveball was also kind of upstairs and down. I think one of the bigger things that Baz has lost over the year is that feel for the curveball going down and being as effective as it was in the first 2 months and at the end of last year when he did return from Tommy John. The cutter was effective, 68% strikes, and that's good. It wasn't really, like, incredible, but I'm happy to see that. But really, Baz needs that foundation of both four-seamer and curve before we get really confident. And now he gets the Dodgers and then the Angels and then into Sacramento and then the Yankees. Oh boy, I don't have the confidence to start Baz in all of those. He could come out and be amazing. It's possible. But I really haven't seen Baz just be absurdly dominant and force us to start him. You know, that's really what, like, a top 30 pitcher does. You just go, my gosh, you need to start this guy. He just looks so good and he dominates. And I know that's in there for Baz, but I would not expect this. Also, we got to think the Rays at some point are going to start eliminating him. You have Sean Burke getting opened for by Grant Taylor, who, honestly, I can't wait for him to start, but whatever. You have 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts for Sean Burke. And honestly, we saw 95-mile-per-hour fastballs on this. We've seen Burke at, like, 93 and change a lot this year. Rarely at 95. That's cool for 91 pitches. And he did really well getting upstairs against lefties at 7.2 feet of extension and 18 to 19 inches of vert on that fastball. That's a good fastball. Well, how are the breaking balls? Well, the slider was in the zone a lot, and so was the curve to right-hand, so dancing with the disco there. That might be enough. It might get better over time, too. Sean Burke is still someone that I feel has another gear at some point. I don't know if he's going to get there, and it's hard to really bank on that with his affiliation of the White Sox. That's a terrible way of just saying he's on the White Sox. He's not going to get as many wins. So I don't know if I really want to go for it, but then again, it is the Guardians, and then the Royals, and then... this is after, of course, the Angels next for Sean Burke. So I don't want to do it now, but maybe after? I don't know. Max Scherzer against the Tigers. 7 innings, 300 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 11 strikeouts. Oh boy, you gotta start the guy, right? Well, okay, he gets the Royals next, and then it's the Dodgers and Cubs. But he's looking really good. The four-seamer is looking better. It has a flatter attack angle at 1.4, and he's getting it upstairs. You have the slider slash cutter working effectively. Changeup is even getting down. That's great. I mean, he's kind of cooking. Max Scherzer, look at this. Carlos Rodon against the Phillies got a win. 5.1 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts for a golden goal. 20 whiffs, 36% CSW. Oh my gosh. He didn't elevate his four seamer as much as he did in the past, but his sinker was really good against lefties. The changeup and slider were great against right-handers, and slider was effective against lefties. 300 runs is annoying because it was 3 solo shots against the Phillies, but otherwise he was just so, so good. That's a great whip. 8 Ks and a win. Be happy with this one, even though the ERA wasn't exactly what you want. It was one extra run than you wanted. Kodai Senga against the Giants. 5 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 5 walks, 3 Ks. This is the second straight start of weirdness from Senga. He's had 3 games above 200 runs, 3 runs, a 4-run game last start, and then this 3-run start. The entire season, he has a 2 ERA after 16 starts this year. Wild. He only had one, keep that in mind, one 3-run start through his first 14. So this is something I'm going to be monitoring with his splitter gang strikes or not, if he's going to be able to get batters out with 2 strikes, if he's going to be able to put them away. I'm not going to do anything now. I don't think you should either. I know there's the Giants and all, but you're just going to keep going with Senga until there's a real alarm bell for us to be sounding. Walker Buehler was terrible against the Dodgers. 4.2 innings of 300 runs, 4 hits, 5 walks, 4 Ks. Like, just don't go after Buehler. It's just not working. Joey Cantillo, I have bad news for you guys. 4 innings of 300 runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 4 Ks. And I saw no news about this, but he didn't hit 60% strikes on any of his offerings. And it was kind of all over the place. Changeup wasn't getting down. Stuff was just whoop. And that's generally a sign of injury. And then I looked at velocity. He was around 89 miles per hour. Joey Cantillo has been like 91, 92. So that's 2 to 3 ticks down. Yeah, I do think Joey Cantillo is hurt or something was going on. It could just been the weather or something along those lines. I hope so, but I'd expect to see something about this from Joey Cantillo. And if he's just starting regularly, I guess he's okay, but I'd be careful. Zach Gallen made his possible last start for the Diamondbacks, and it wasn't what you wanted. It was against Pittsburgh. You thought maybe, but it was 6 innings, 400 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. At least he got a good 1 whip and 5 Ks, but yeah, those 4 runs hurt. And he didn't pitch that poorly. A few extra pitches that you'd want over the plate and fine, but he is throwing this sinker, as Eric Samulski pointed out last week on the On the Corner podcast. I believe it was Eric, or maybe it was actually Eno during last week's episode of The Craft. And that sinker is kind of interesting. I really like it as an addition to right-handers. It's not the best movement or whatever, but he does locate it generally well, and it will add an extra element of surprise to the four-seamer and the curve, etc. So I think he's actually the guy to add now because we don't know where he's going to go. And if he's on the wire, because everyone's just like, he's just so bad, I think you give it a shot wherever he goes. So I would do a spec ad for Zach Gallen now if you can. Colton Gordon, as I mentioned before, the final line was 5 innings, 400 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. Unfortunately, got the loss. It's how it goes. You also have Fenway and the Yankees moving forward for Colton Gordon, so you don't need to jump in for this. Dustin May at the Red Sox, 5 innings, 400 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. I'm surprised he started. I thought he was just going to be in the bullpen, and then he hasn't, and then he is, and he hasn't. And it was 77 pitches here, just 4 whiffs. Like, it's just not enough. Okay? It's just not enough. Don't go for Dustin May. Logan Gilbert, I gave him the ace is going to ace tag. And what does he do? 5 innings, 400 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. Ugh. We got all 4 of those in his final inning, the 5th, including a 2-run shot from Mike Trout. Still, come on, man. You can't do a 52% strike rate on your slider. That's supposed to be the amazing thing that makes everything else better. Oh, man. It's just frustrating. Logan Gilbert away from Seattle is just not as good. Okay. Austin Gomber didn't do well outside of Coors because even outside of Coors, his tendrils remain. It was in Camden. Doesn't matter. Not good. Michael McGreevy. Okay. He's a weak contact guy, and he got singled out. He needs Koufax to help. He didn't spot as well as he normally does, and he's very much of like throwing those sinkers in the right spots, the sliders in the right spots, etc. If you don't do that right, then you're going to be more hittable, McGreevy. It's not just pure luck here. So, yeah, don't go after McGreevy unless you're really going for that quality start and hoping that the command is there. And, of course, Bryce Elder, you don't want to touch. He went against the Rangers, 2.2 innings of 800 runs. Dylan Dodd won 3 shutout frames in relief, and maybe we see him, but you don't want to touch that either. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. Yes, there is a trade deadline stream later this week with Paul Sport at 4 p.m. Eastern time on playback.tv/pitcherlist. We'll also be streaming that to YouTube, so youtube.com/pitcherlist as well. And you can also watch it on the homepage at pitcherlist.com. But 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time this Thursday for the trade deadline extravaganza show with Paul Sporer and special guests. be there, or be square, of course. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.